to the show. I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell. You ever been out somewhere and overheard two people having crazy conversations?
Well, we are those people. We've been having these conversations since college.
Yep, it's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts podcast. Married at First Sight, Season 17, Denver, Colorado, recap. Be sure to like, subscribe, rate, and leave a review.
You okay over there?
You know, I'm getting by. I got a lot of tussin, and I'm chasing it down with a little something dark to help me sleep tonight. This is my hot toddy.
Yeah, that's the way you're supposed to do it, right? When you're feeling a little down, you get something that'll bring you even further down. Some brown liquor.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, at least hopefully I'll try to get through this without coughing, but we shall see.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Only if you make me laugh.
Well, all right. Well, it might happen then. But look, for those of you new to the show, man, just a reminder as to how we got here, because you'll notice that Terrell, you may pick up on his reluctance throughout the show, right? And part of that is because a long time ago, he made a deal with the devil. Said he wouldn't watch reality TV until there was a Black Bachelor. Why he picked that show, I have no idea, because once the pandemic hit, they said, hey, let's give the black guy a chance. And to Matt James, so he stuck watching it. Being a good friend that I am, what do? I watch along with him. Well, in return, Terrell being the good friend that he is, he reluctantly watched one of my favorite shows.
I was voluntold to watch
exactly.
The show.
Married at First Sight, season 13. And you know what? He was so reluctant, hated it so much, we've been doing every season ever since. And here we are, season 17. And as you can see by the smile on his face, for those of you on the live, he loves it.
This is the way I take one for the team, for all the subscribers. They like that we do this. Mm-hmm. So I'm doing it for them. I hate it, but doing it for them.
Black Tornado says, been waiting on for you guys' commentary on this one. And Nick Pick also says, can't wait to hear what you guys have to say about those wigged up friends. Well, you know we got to get to them. But before we do, we got to start at the beginning of the episode, right? And in the beginning of the episode, it starts with something that Terrell loves to see. The birds chirping like a Disney movie. And the windows open. The sun shines in. And Becca's right here in Austin.
Right up in your face. Just right up in his face. I was like, who does that first thing in the morning? Like, I would be so annoyed. And I get it. They're in the honeymoon phase, but you're right up in my face. You got the morning breath. Then she does the nose kisses and the forehead kisses. I just think Austin is just like a little bit of, what they call it, love bombing. Like, it's just right. Like, that's just too much. Just watching it, I'm like, man, that's, I like PDA and affection, but I would be annoyed with that.
And I think you've made a note of that a number of times, especially, I think, starting with the boat ride on the honeymoon. That, like, you know, it seems like she's just a little too much for him. And I think we're starting to see, because those of us who'd have missed it the first time, we're seeing it now. We're seeing his reaction. And it's definitely, like Angie says, Becca is definitely on Austin's nerves. We learned something else about some of the other couples as they were waking up, too. Like, Cameron likes to get in bed with a fresh shower. So he's like, yeah, I really don't need the shower in the morning. I shower before we... before I go to bed. And Claire's funky ass decides to just wait till the morning. Hence, we were right. She did not take a shower that wedding night.
Right, because she prefers to take her showers in the morning. She wants to bring all that stank and funk into the sheets and get into the mattress so then she can wash herself of it in the morning. Some people do it that way, I guess.
Look. But also find out that Brennan has waved a white flag and is reluctantly deciding to move in with Emily. So we'll get to that part in a little bit as well, because they're actually going to go move in together.
Yeah.
And this is going to be fun.
Yeah, it's interesting. Can't say it's fun, but it's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Now, Emily gets to go meet with one of her friends, Sophie, right? And one of the things she's talking about is the whole relationship with Brennan. She's like, he was really intimate at the start of the honeymoon. And things switch as she started to care for him. Sound familiar?
Yeah. But what she did say is that she's trying to get him to open up more. And apparently on camera, he's one way and different off camera. And so that is something that she brought up, which I thought was interesting. Something like I feel like he's, and I said this before, I think he's trying to protect himself on camera so he doesn't look like the asshole that he is. But so I think he's trying to hide it, but doesn't communicate that well. And she thinks the cameras are the reason Brennan is holding back. I'm like, nope, it's you. And that's a hard reality. But no, Emily, it's you. He just doesn't right. like you.
Mm-hmm. So then do you think that she's wrong for giving him time to communicate? Because she's like, well, I'm trying to give him more time so he can communicate better.
She can give him all the time he needs. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Brennan is just going through the motions. He's not interested. For whatever reason, something happened that just totally turned him off from her.
I want to know what it is, man, because it's like we can't see it. We don't. Only thing we can see is the drinking, right? But we don't know if that's what it is. So,
I don't know. I mean, that's all we really see. But I get it, right? If you look at the big picture, Emily, never been in a relationship before, ever. Mm-hmm. Most people don't come around after the third date, so she's either sleeping around and not good at it, and guys don't come back. She gets sloppy drunk, and maybe that's why. I mean, there's a reason, and he's just probably creating the whole Lifetime movie in his head without talking to her about it.
Right.
And I think that's the problem. If he really was interested, he would like talk through the stuff.
Right.
But he's just created the whole movie in his head, so he's done.
Yeah. And, you know, I noticed something when they were moving in. And we'll get to that in a few about what's going on with them there. But let's get to Claire and Cameron here, right? And one of the things I noticed with Claire and Cameron, she decides to go surprise him at work. And the first thing I thought was, is this progress? Is she actually starting to come around? She's going to go visit that man, take him lunch at work. And then I realized she just brought him a sandwich.
Yeah, she brought him a Vegemite sandwich. Maybe that's... Maybe she
a Vegemite rice cake sandwich.
Yeah, maybe she put that on there. Yeah, it was just a sandwich. I was like, that's it. Like, that's whatever. I mean, maybe he doesn't eat much, but I would think he'd come in with something different.
Yeah.
But this whole interaction intrigued me because I think when they first met, it almost seemed like Emily had her nose turned up to him, you know, fixing bikes. And mm-hmm. she asked him back when they first met, well, is this something you're passionate about? He's like, yeah, mm-hmm. like, this is what I do. So then she's at the shop with him. He's talking about something. You could just see he's like a kid excited to show you his toys.
Yes.
And she's like, so do you get bored with this job? No, I don't get bored because I love doing it. I am geeked out about bikes. Then yeah. she asks him again, but are you passionate about what you do? I just think she doesn't respect his work.
Yeah.
And she's just judging him.
Okay, so do you think her judgment changed a little when he kind of flexed? Like, you know, I'm like one of only five carbon experts. In the country.
I think she was just like, oh, you're always bragging. Everything goes great for you. Everything in your world is so good. You know, it doesn't matter. I mean, I'm not a Claire fan, but she just does not respect what the guy does. And I'm like, it's obvious he's passionate about what he does.
Kendra agrees, says she's super judgmental. Now, you know, he says he has a project for them to work on together. You know,
you almost sound just like him. That was good.
Oh, thank you. That's the English pronunciation, the project. So they've got this project to work on together. sorry, that went more English than New Zealand. What'd you think of them working together on that, though? You know, because she gets to see his passion. I think so. Did you see a change in, because she was very judgy walking in the door. Then she gets to work on this thing with him. Do you think that changes her mind a little bit?
No,
I didn't think so.
No, I don't, because, and I'll talk more about this later, but I really think Claire she's trying to find all the reasons why she does not like this guy
mm-hmm.
and just keeps digging into him. And so the fact that she saw him building bikes and she was like, well, it's great to see a person, a man, when they're really into their craft and doing their thing. Like it's attractive. I'm like, you're not attracted to him.
Right.
He could have built it, but he could have, you know, created the metal and everything to himself. She wouldn't have been amazed.
What if he changed the tire? Because I know you said that usually turns some women on.
Not Claire. I mean, obviously, Claire doesn't care. Are you passionate about changing that tire?
Well, yes, the grease. It really does something to me. Yeah. Well, it's Becca's birthday, right? And they go out to meet up with some of her friends, Kelsey, Adrienne, and Jenny. And it seems the way the conversation starts at first, first thing I noticed, Austin was like, the food comes. He's like, yes, something to distract me.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, because, I mean, that just has to be uncomfortable because you know that they're all really going to sit there and try to grill him.
Yeah.
You know, they know Becca, so they're just going to ask him a whole bunch of stuff. Mm-hmm. So the food coming in is a good buffer. Becca brings up how they differ in religion again. I'm like, yeah. Why do we keep talking about this? You know, it's one thing if she's a Wiccan and he's Christian. They're not that far off from each other.
Right.
You know, but it's not that big a deal.
Because she hasn't said she's an atheist, right?
Not, I don't believe so. I thought she said that she was raised Jewish, but was more agnostic. Mm-hmm. And her main point is she has an issue with organized religion. Totally get it. But I just don't see like that being their big deal. But she brings that up, and Austin handled that, you know, well, saying to him, Pastor Cal taught and opened his eyes up to that the religious differences could totally be fine. And then the friends do that thing that I hate every season of Married at First Sight.
What?
So how's the sex life? How's the sex life? Y'all having sex yet? Like, who does that? Even in real life.
You making them ankles tap yet?
Even in real life, who does that?
Are you playing telephone?
I'm sorry, what adults do that? I mean, teenagers, you know, frat boys in college. But as adults, who's like, how long you been together? 3 months? Awesome. How's the sex?
Yeah. It is annoying, right? It is annoying, but then they double down because Austin does this whole awkward, hey, I need to go get a drink. Can I get you guys anything? Which lets you know the producer said, hey, Austin, it's time for you to get up and leave. We need to shoot. You are at a restaurant. There's a waitress that brought you food. She can bring you drinks too.
But there could be a restaurant that doesn't have a server. There's a lot of those where you can order on an app or go up to the bar and then you put your table and the food comes to your table, but there's no server. So it's possible. I'm just playing devil's advocate here.
What the hell kind of place is this?
Do I
still have to have a tip? Do they still come at the if you could please answer the question at the bottom before you?
No, you might not tip. In some of the airports I've seen, there's no server. You just walk up, you order through the app, you don't have to tip. I love it.
They were not in the airport.
No, they weren't. But I'm just saying, you never know. Or maybe he just wanted to act like he had to go to the bar and get a drink order because the producers told him to exit stage left.
That's pretty much what it was. Either that or he was like, yeah, I'm not answering the sex question. I need a drink.
Well, who would? Who would answer that question? In the comments, would any of y'all answer that question? If you bring a dude around your friends and your friends were to say, hey, so y'all been together for how long now? How's the sex? Would you even answer that question? I'm curious.
Yeah, you know, the answer should always be, it's terrible. Worst ever. But we're gonna try until it gets better. Why? Yeah. Because anybody who's asking that question is asking for a reason. Ulterior motives. Because see, look, women are ready. Karen says, nope, wouldn't. Kristen says, nope. No, I'm never going to ask you that.
No. I wouldn't tell somebody, oh my God, the sex is amazing, because what are they going to do? Okay, noted. Steal.
Let me know when y'all break up.
Yeah, let me know. Slide in her DMs. Hey, I heard you and Terrell had an argument last night. If you need to talk, I'm always here for you. Yeah, no.
And he told me about that thing you do. Becca's friends are not you and me, because obviously as soon as Austin gets up and leaves the table, I don't think he even made it to the bar yet, they're like, all right, so seriously, how is the sex life? It's like, wait, what?
Well, true. So this was interesting to me because Becca says that Austin's the first guy that she's been with that hasn't wanted to have sex and jump into that right away. And I'm thinking it's because he's not interested. Because what guy, if he's not interested, I'm married to you. I'm sleeping next to you every day. Mm-hmm. We're going to have some sex, right?
And she
Unless
wants
he's
to.
Not interested. Mm-hmm.
And she wants to. That's the thing about it. She wants to. Because even her friends are like, all right, so how does it feel that, you know, to this point, you haven't had sex yet? How does it feel?
Well, 100%. But I just, like, I don't know any guys. And I'm not talking about people that let's say they want to wait, you know, maybe to their faith or their values. They don't want to have sex until they get married. Uh-huh. I'm not talking about that group.
Right.
I'm talking about these folks, like this, he is not into her. If a guy is with you and sleeping next to you all the time and doesn't want to touch you, there's a reason.
Yeah.
He's not into you because she wants to have sex despite her body and the surgery. She's ready and he's not interested. Tells me all I need to know.
No, very true. I totally agree. Because we're not always going to just say yes. So next up, Emily and Brennan. Because Brennan says he's going to move in. So You know, here's the thing. I thought she was already in there. But apparently
I did
she
too.
Wasn't.
Yeah.
Okay, so it wasn't just me. Because I thought he was moving and she's already there. But apparently not, because they both move in.
Yeah. So she moves in. She has a ton of crap.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I get it, though. Because even though the apartment's furnished, it doesn't have toiletries and all the different things that you might need, right? And I listened to the after party, and so she explained why she brought so much stuff, but she had a ton of stuff. And Brenda's just, you know, mind blown with all the crap that she has. But I'm looking at it like, you're not going to help her go downstairs and get more stuff? She has one good wrist, and you're not even going to try to help?
Now, you know, that irked me, because on the wedding day when people wouldn't open the door for their bride, it irked me then. So you know this irks me. Like, how do you watch her struggle? And it's like when Cameron, and it's, here's the thing, because people gave Cameron a hard time when he wouldn't carry Claire's heavy-ass suitcase. Because he's like, well, you packed all of it. You take it. What is up with these men in Denver? Is this why there's so many single women in Denver? Because this is ridiculous. How do you stand there and watch her bring everything upstairs? Then he opens up one of her suitcases and goes, oh, now I know where all her money's going. That was the moment I went, that's another thing that's on his mind about dealing with her. But then he closes it back up and just brushes his hands. Like, I'm not touching anything. I'm going to let her and her one hand and two legs bring all this up here.
Well, I think it's one thing to not be attracted to someone, but it's another to not even be a gentleman.
Right.
And the gentleman thing to do would be to help her bring her stuff upstairs.
Yeah.
You know, but instead of her having to do it all by herself. But, and you called it out, because remember after their wedding, when they went into the reception hall, you called it out, and I argued with you when you said he didn't open the door for her. I was like, well, she was in front of him and she did it, but you called it. And so here's what we're seeing about Brennan, that the dude's a turd, you know, but at least she gets all her stuff in there.
Yeah, she did. Brandy says Brennan was moving there against his will. That's probably why he didn't help.
Yeah. Probably.
It's like, if I'm going to be, look, Shoshana has a right, hostage. That's exactly what I was about to say. If I'm going to be a hostage, I'm not going to help you chain me up.
Yeah.
It hurt me though, man. But then we also find out some more things. Like, apparently, when he's annoyed, Brennan takes long showers so he can process. Or if he was Cameron, he would process.
Okay, but I don't think it's the long showers. He just wants to be away from her. Yeah. And that's the space where he can just be away from her. Because literally, who just stands there in the shower processing for 10 or 15 minutes? You're clean. You're just going to stand there. You just want a separate space away from her. And you don't want to say, I'm sitting on the toilet doing number two, and this is my private time. So you just jump in the shower.
Okay. No, you're in the shower. The water's nice and warm. You ever just stood under the shower and just like, and just close your eyes and enjoy that moment?
No. I guess water's free in Atlanta, huh? No, I don't.
Well, damn, how much is water in Texas?
You get in, you do your business, and you get out. You just don't stand there. Let water just flow. I don't pay for my water, by the way, but still. I care about the environment, Yanni. So I don't want to just waste water.
You just still Western roll through the shower is what you do. That is what you say.
No, I go in, I do what I got to do, and I get out.
Kitty agrees with you. He just wanted time away from her. I mean,
cheers.
Oh, hey, Sasha Joe says, we know why he stays in the shower so long. You know, it could be the time away, or maybe he just needs some private time.
No, that's why women stay in the shower so long. Guys, you don't stay in the shower that long to do that. When you're so low, you get that. It don't take long.
Yeah.
I mean, 2-3 minutes. In and out.
You know what you're saying? You know what you're doing?
Yeah, you know what you're doing. You know your spot. 2 or 3 minutes, in and out. You're done. You're not in there like having foreplay with yourself in the shower.
No, I'm here.
He's in there pinching his own nipples and stuff.
This conversation went left way
back. It did.
Connie says, I so don't get long showers with Terrell. I know you didn't see it because she spelled your name wrong, so I know you didn't see it.
No, I saw it. I was going to let you highlight it first. You know I was about to go at it, but I'll let you do it. But I agree.
Subbu says he's processing if he can deal with her for 8 weeks. Now that I could agree with, because he seems so annoyed. And there's so many reasons for him to be annoyed. She is not probably one of the reasons, because we'll see later on as we get to the housewarming parties. But first, I didn't think we'd see them again. And I don't know why they keep torturing this poor woman. But Lauren and Orion. And Orion gets to meet with his friend Dom, and Lauren is meeting with her brother and Marcellus and her sister-in-law. What's her sister-in-law's name?
Marcellette. I just think it's the weirdest thing.
So, if you met them, you'd be like, are y'all twins?
How did y'all meet Marcellus and Marcellette? I just find that to be interesting. You know, look, but
it was fate that they met.
It is. Fell in love
and got married.
Yeah. Yeah.
I will say this. First thing I noticed when Lauren walked up, she looks good, looks in a good space. At least until the conversation started, and I was like, all right, never mind. I like how her brother was like, effort is a two-way street. Yeah. And showing that support in that way. And her sister-in-law was right there along with them. You know, they were a nice echo check. They might be twins because they really are the same, saying the same thing.
Well, I think Lauren looks beautiful. And she said that she's been through all the emotions at this point.
Yeah.
She wanted to sit in her emotion, experience all the feels, and she feels pain and resentment.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't understand why, because, well, I get part of it why. But I'm thinking to myself, why don't you let this, if I was Lauren, I'd be like, hey, okay, this is his loss, and I'm going to move on, which is what her sister-in-law was trying to tell her. Marcella said, effort's a two-way street. And she said, you can control how someone else receives you. You can't control how someone else receives you.
Right.
If there's not forgiveness in the marriage, it won't work. But at the end of the day, you're still a bad bitch. You still got money. Orion can't say that. So I'm like, girl, you still winning.
She is still winning. She is still winning. And I like how she tried to pump her up in that moment, right? Like, look, hey, you can still do this, 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 and this. Don't let that little pump get you all caught up in your feelings. And I think it was, for Lauren, I could kind of understand why. And I know we're saying, like Kendra said, Lauren, move on. It was 2 weeks. But she threw her heart in this 2 weeks, right?
Uh-huh.
This was important to her. It was something that she wanted. And she accepted this funny looking man and said, I'm going to try and fall in love with him. And he dogs her out at the end of the day. And we see him with Dom. And this is what weirded me out. When he said it feels weird to be divorced. I think you misspoke. You meant weird to be married.
Right. Yeah. And he's trying to make it seem like, hey, I did my best. It just didn't work out. And his family's disappointed that he didn't get what he wanted out of the process. I'm like, I look at Orion as trying to make himself look like the victim. And mm-hmm. I'm wanting to see Lauren stop looking like a victim and look more like a victor. And, mm-hmm. and stop this whole thing. Like, girl, move on.
Yeah.
You good. On the after party, she was telling, what's her name? Rudy. Was telling her about her brother.
Did she say Rudy?
Sister-in-law. I did. Her brother and sister-in-law.
Put some respect on Keisha Knight Pulliam's name, please. Thank you.
Keisha Knight Pulliam, just in case we ever get invited to the show. So, Keisha. She was saying how they were telling her that she doesn't need to talk to me. And she's saying that she would still be open to have a conversation. And I'm like, Lauren, why?
Mm-hmm.
Why? And I don't know if it's she doesn't like being rejected. So you're not going to leave me. I'm going to leave you.
Mm.
You know, I don't know, but I just find it really weird.
No, okay. I did too until you just said that, right? Remember, she said she needs validation. She said this early on. And I think Orion said, I see a crack in the foundation. I know how to bring this house down. Because she said what she needs is validation. And what he did was give her the exact opposite, right?
Right.
And he knows it's a blow to her ego. He knows she's a good, strong woman.
Right.
She's got more going on for her than he ever has had going on for him. Right?
Right.
But he saw this weakness because she told him. She showed him the kryptonite, and then he used it. So, I mean, because he hasn't tried to say anything nice to her from the beginning.
So. Yeah. No, he hasn't. I just don't understand why she still wants to even deal with this dude.
Yeah.
After everything. I just don't get it.
Yeah. So Black Turner says, I totally understand why she was hurt. So, I mean, yeah, it's she put herself in. She put herself in there. Gave her all. And we're gonna see her crying again. in the next episode, and so, which hopefully,
Hey, Connie, it's all good. Don't even worry about it. You agree with me? You can spell my name any way you want. I'm great.
as long as you're on his side, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
He says, doesn't matter what you call me, as long as you agree with me. All right. Housewarming parties, right? Let's get to this one, man, because this one is the be-all and end-all of all house parties. And I like the fact when they went wig shopping, it kind of brought out some of that personality, especially from Brennan, because we haven't seen that. We've seen mean mug, stoic face, portrait face Brennan this entire time. And he kind of shows, he puts a wig on, all of a sudden, Sasha Fierce comes out.
Well, he's trying to have fun with it. And so they try to pick the wigs. I get it. I don't understand what the small hands are for.
Yeah,
like I don't get the excitement behind the small hands.
Inside joke for them, I think.
Must be, I don't know. But I don't get the thing about the small hands. But they go get the wigs. And so Emily thinks that this party is going to make the week better and help them be able to move on. I'm like, why would you think this? Why would you think a party is going to erase all the fact that he told you he's not attracted to you and he doesn't want to touch you?
Right.
Do you think the wigs are going to do it? Yeah. That's not going to be enough.
Well, you know, here's the thing about it. It was all good leading up to it. Her friends show up, and as soon as they get there, what does she do? She basically throws him down the steps that he didn't help her bring any of this stuff up. Because she tells her friends, her girlfriends, that she moved all the stuff in by herself with her one wrist.
Yep. And so Kiara and Alex, of course, are like, oh my gosh. And Alex, remember I talked about the vocal fry? Did you hear it?
Yeah.
You know, she's one of my best friends and you didn't even help her. So I just try to understand that voice. Oh, it's so annoying. But she sings when she talks. It's terrible.
Yeah.
Emily's one of my best friends.
there are a lot of them on the show that do that, but go ahead.
I get it. But that just people who do that, it's annoying. So, of course, Kiara and Alex are already kind of keyed up and really want to have some questions for Brennan. And I think they might have edited it out, because did you catch the part where he was telling Alex, like, because it's fun, Alex, we're trying to have fun. So I felt like maybe they were just kind of jokingly talking trash to each other and just kind of escalated.
I think that part was, you're right. There was something that they cut out there, but it was a dig at Emily, because, you know, why the wigs? And that was his dig at Emily, because it was Emily's ideas on the wigs in the first place.
Oh, well, I thought Brennan mentioned the wigs.
In the beginning?
Yeah. When they were in the shop, Brennan was like, we can do wigs. Mm-hmm. And whatever, and that's kind of how that started. But I could be wrong.
I could be wrong. But
well, probably
more than likely it's not. More than likely, not.
Probably so. It's probably you're the one that's wrong. But I didn't want to. I don't want to say that in front of all these people, because that'd be rude.
Please, you always do.
No. I don't want to. I don't want to throw you under the bus in front of all these people. You know, you're my best friend.
Like you always try to do. Yes.
So anyway, so they've decided the Kiara and Alex take Brennan outside. And I'm like, why are y'all still talking with the wigs? Because this was a really heated conversation. But watching them do it with the wigs on.
Here's the funny part. Because when they start to talk to him, he goes, he's still in character. And she's like, we need to have a serious conversation. Well, not with this wig on. And they're like, uh-uh. We're going to have a serious conversation.
Yeah. So it did come across like they were interrogating him. Rather than trying to actually get to know him. Mm-hmm. So I do think that the friends were wrong. Now, they were right in calling him out on some of the things that they called him out on. Not helping her move. Now, the whole, you didn't help take anything out of the kitchen, out the oven. He's like, no, I took everything out the oven. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but she plated it. I thought they were getting nitpicky when it came
to that. That's what Melissa says. They had a problem with everything. He didn't put the food on the plate after
taking it. Yeah, I'm just like, y'all are just getting really nitpicky.
Yes, they just don't like him.
But I agree that they seem like they were attacking instead of trying to understand. But I also think, this is what I just learned about Brennan. Brennan doesn't like for a woman to challenge him.
Okay, but
women can't talk to him a certain way. Men can.
Let's be honest. They came at him really aggressively, right? They did not, again, they did not try to understand. Like, take for instance, who's the one with the pink hair?
Alex.
She says, Emily deserves the world and Brendan isn't ready to give it to her, right? And the one with the green hair was, what's her name?
Kiara.
Says that he was making it miserable to film. So they're going with all this inside information they're getting. And right. He's like, wait a minute, hold up. So you're saying that she told you all this? And they're like, well, no, she didn't tell us. Stop lying. Because right. It's too late now. But then at the same time, they really weren't listening. They went in attack mode and that was it. And I understand why. I'll be a little upset too if I found out that you didn't help my friend who had a hurt wrist. And even if she didn't, how you let her go make 8 trips up the stairs and you only make 1?
True, but Brendan said that if this was real life, I'd have helped her. Mm-hmm. And they're like, this is real life, which I was just like, what the hell does that do? Yeah, this ain't real. You know, I don't have to help her. That was dumb on his part. But all they really said was like, hey, look, we just feel like you're being resistant to this process and to us. We don't think you have the emotional capacity and we're concerned for our best friend. Now, here's how dumb Brendan is. Brendan said, you guys are going to be saying all these big words. You've only known me for 20 minutes. I was like, big words? Resistant? Capacity? Yeah. Concern? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Were those the big words that were big for you? I really don't sizable. Think that... I think Brendan has an issue with a woman challenging him. And I think Emily, in the beginning, when in Mexico, like she was not like this, you know, going to bow down and be number 2 to him. Because that's just not who she is. So I'm thinking maybe that's the issue. But he doesn't like any woman to challenge or question him. Now, I think Nikki that's a big red flag.
It is. Nikki B says, Emily told them the real tea before the party and they had their minds made up. But she really felt like that. AJ says, the friends were drunk. Let's be real. Shante was here for it, though. She said, I'm here for the friends. If they stuck to the points that were very relevant, like him not helping her, then I'd be there for it too. But right. When they went down everything else. And Celery does agree with you because she says, yes, they were extra, but yes, he doesn't like women criticizing him.
Yes.
I guess I can see why you say that, but we haven't seen a man do it to him yet and see him react any differently yet.
Right. But the difference is when a man does it, you can punch him in the face. Mm-hmm. You can't hit a woman.
No.
So he doesn't like being talked to. And I think there's a preview of next episode where he's kind of snaps at Dr. Pia. He just doesn't like a woman to talk to him in any kind of way. Now, I would say, hey, Brendan, if you're ever having a conversation with somebody and they have a bunch of rings on their hands, don't argue with them. You're not going to win. Alice has, you can't argue with a woman with a bunch of rings on her hand. Like, I hate seeing girls that have like 3 or 4 rings on this hand, 3 rings on this hand. Those are people we don't argue with. It's not worth it. Walk away.
Now, Dina says, production told Brenna not to help Emily. Would that stop you?
I wouldn't tell production. No, I'm going to go help.
Exactly.
Because I'm not an ass.
I'd be like, y'all not staying here overnight. I am.
Right.
And I got some broad upsy. I'm going to go help. Yeah, there's no way you're not. Yeah, there's no, regardless. Unless they said, you're not getting your paycheck.
Yeah, there's no way. There's no way I would not help. So, but I really think he has these issues with women. And I wonder if his dad and his mom, you know, they've been together.
Yeah.
But is the dad the dominant? And that's what he's used to. And so he doesn't allow a woman to challenge him, question him, or whatever. But that dude is something else.
Pressures Me says, it seems her friends showed up just to fight. And Nikki B says, Brendan gives violent energy, for real, for real. Emily needs to leave ASAP. Agree?
He's already said he's not into you. He doesn't want to touch you. I don't think living together is all of a sudden to make him go, you know what? You are cute.
Yeah.
During the after party, she was asked about their nighttime routine. And she said that she normally sleeps naked, but she knows that crosses a line with him. So she normally wears, you know, PG pajamas, but she's been trying to wear some stuff to little lace things, you know, little, you know, jumpers, things to kind of show some side boob to get him interested. He does not want to touch you.
Yeah.
So I think leave. Why go through the whole 8 weeks?
Indeed. The thing, CXM, which by the way, thank you for being a new subscriber. Really appreciate that. Since for him to say it was real life, if it was real life, that's was so crazy. And okay, I get why, because for him to say it out loud, it's crazy. For him to think it, I can see why he's like, this. Well, this is not real life, because in real life, I don't have all these cameras around. It still doesn't excuse why you didn't get the damn bags, unless they were all empty. Now, if they were, if he helped to bring all the stuff upstairs, and they said, empty them, and we're going to get video of her bringing these things upstairs, and they're all empty, fine. If you're playing that role, if you're being the actor, as somebody mentioned earlier, he said essentially said he was a paid actor. If that's the case, then yes. But no, you can't not help her. That was ridiculous to me.
Yeah. No, I agree. And I agree with Black Tornado. He said, I do it all the more since it's being taped. Yeah.
Yeah.
Since everybody and your mom can see me not helping, no, I'm going to help. Probably more so than I would if there weren't cameras around.
What'd you think after they got done, after everybody left and Brennan complained to Emily about her friends coming at him? I thought it was kind of funny, actually, the way he was kind of...
Well, he, of course, he made it seem like they were in the wrong. And kudos to Emily for being supportive, saying they're wrong. But I'm like, but you haven't seen the footage yet. I can't wait to see if she has that same energy when she watches the clip.
Well, remember, she did see that. That's one of the things. So I caught bits and pieces of the after party. And the first part of the after party, she says, well, it was interesting because it's the first time she got to see the other side of that, because she'd only heard, right? Because what she did there is she apologized to him, right? And here's the thing where I got to give Brennan a little bit on this, because at least he goes, you have nothing to apologize for. You're right. She doesn't. But she's apologizing for her friends and the way her friends were acting. Now, one of the things we should note here, because it was also pointed out earlier in the live chat that her friends are probably drunk, right? Say her friends are drunk, be real. Emily says, my friends are a reflection of me. We've seen what Emily looks like. We saw the bachelor party. Her friends might have been really tipsy too, so who knows?
I don't know. I don't think they were tipsy. I just think that's just who they were. They came in hot. Mm-hmm. Because to me, the way they talked and everything was the same from when they showed up to when they were on the patio talking. I don't think they were drunk.
Yeah. Well. I saw this one. It made me laugh. I have to show it to you later. I'm not going to put it up there. But Keedy, you are funny. Keedy, you are funny. All right, let's get to Becca and Austin. I started for you. You can see it.
I saw it. I saw it.
So Becca and Austin, they get the friends to come over. What did you think of Austin asking Becca's friends, what does he need to do to avoid becoming an ex-boyfriend? Because my thought is, you already did that. You married her. You can't be an ex-boyfriend.
Well, I think you're just nitpicking.
Yes, I am.
But I thought it was
there's nothing with these two right now.
Yeah. I think you're just nitpicking. But I thought it was a great question. But I think, okay, why do you care? Because you're not going to be with her anyway. Like, I just don't think he's interested. So it's a great question to ask. Mm-hmm. And that whole, you know, that whole, their whole get together and their friend interaction with the friends was probably the more normal out of all of them. Right. Because, you know, Derek's friend is talking to Becca and not Derek. Derek is the friend. Derek's talking to Becca and has a lot of positive things to say about her. And they bring up the religion thing again. And he's like, look, I'm an atheist. Yeah, and he's known that. I've never known his religion to be an issue.
Right.
And we're best friends. You know, and so why Becca chose to keep talking about that, again, I don't know. They're just getting really annoying with this whole issue with their faith.
Yeah.
You know, but I thought all the conversations between Derek and Becca and then Austin and I think it's Gina and Lauren were fine.
Yeah. It is a little interesting that she keeps bringing up the religion. Like, it almost feels like she's making it a bigger issue than, like, and it's, You know what it is? She probably thinks that's the reason he's not sleeping with her. And if that's the case, maybe that's why it is such a big deal for her, because she keeps bringing that up. Because remember, she wants to do it. He hasn't done it. And this is the issue that they're having. Is this what it is? Is this why she keeps... Because she's harped on it all episode.
Huh. That's an interesting point. I didn't think of it that way. That maybe he's trying to say that, hey, because of my faith, I don't think we're ready to do this yet.
Or maybe that's what she's thinking, but it's not like, because it's not like he's saving himself for marriage, because they're married.
He's just waiting for the Jesus to tell him to pull her panties down.
On that note,
I don't know. That's a good point. Maybe that's what he's doing. Maybe that's what's in her head, but. I don't think that's it.
We're going to move on to the other.
You may proceed, my son. Ooh. It's time. Should we be doing this? He said that's okay.
Jesus said it's okay.
Yeah. What would he do it? He may not come when you want him.
Oh, my God. Claire Cameron, was there anything but the cup party? Cool idea. Oh, which, by the way, wait, before we get done, I want to point this out real quick, because I almost forgot this. I just want to get back to this, because a lot of people were asking about it and were unsure of it. The Tiny Hands is an SNL reference. I don't watch SNL. I watch clips every so often on YouTube, but that's what the Tiny Hands was. Jocelyn, appreciate that.
Well, they're talking about Kristen Wiig on mm-hmm. SNL. I know what they're talking about. I don't know if that's mm-hmm. what... That was a reference too, but it could be.
Mm. Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah, because I don't watch SNL.
I do.
Yeah, I know. Anything but the cup party. You can drink out of anything except a cup, right?
Yeah.
Thoughts?
I was like, what in the green bean casserole is this party playing? But whatever.
Have you been to one of these parties before?
No, I have not. I have not. But I know you're not going to come to my house drinking out of my pots and whatever else. It's just, no, you get a cup. But
you better take this red Solo cup.
Yeah, I'm just like, you can get a cup. But again, you know.
That's why Orion didn't want to stay married to Lauren. He didn't want to have to drink out of a red Solo cup. Hey,
maybe this is just cultural differences. I've just never heard of that. Anything but the cup party. But that's fine. So before the party, Cameron shows up, Claire's trying to blow up balloons, and he doesn't really have a food plan.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not a good planner, but my thought is, okay, Claire, you know the dude.
Yeah.
What has he ever showed you that he has a plan? Mm-hmm. So then he's like, well, I guess I can order some empanadas and whatever. So he orders it. And of course it gets there a couple hours early. So yeah. Now it's just sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
Just not good planning. I'm a good party planner, but that's just poor planning on their part.
Well, to be fair, he didn't want to order the food right then anyway. And she said, order it. Then she goes, and he goes, hey, but I don't have an option for a time to pick up. So now I'm picking up in 15 minutes. And she's like, well, don't order it now. Order it later. Too late. Already ordered it. So.
What? Well.
Kind of helpful though.
Well, we come to find out. On the after party, she was really more upset that none of his friends were showing up. So apparently Cameron's friend and Claire's cousin met at the wedding, went on a mm-hmm. date. Guess what came of it? He was supposed to come and her cousin was going to come. And he backed out. So none of his friends showed up. So Claire's more upset that none of his people are there. But what I don't get is Claire, the therapist who thinks you're so smart, you know everything. Use your words and just tell him that.
Yeah.
Why not just say, hey, I'm really bothered that none of your friends are coming to this. Mm-hmm. I feel like they don't want to get to know me. What's going on with that? Let's talk about it. Instead, she makes a big tizzy over the food.
Yeah.
Which to me, I just look at her emotional intelligence. I'm like, she tries to make it sound like she's so much more evolved than Cameron, but she's not.
So is it that big of an issue? Really, that he didn't have anybody show up.
Well, let's go from the beginning. His parents weren't there at the wedding.
Right.
She's not really met anybody since mm-hmm. the wedding. That's a part of his clique.
Mm-hmm.
So she's just wondering why. But again,
alarm bell's going off. I got you.
Alarm bell's going off.
I just want, yeah.
But I think she's also still trying to find reasons to say no on decision day. And yeah. so she's just building a list. And this is yeah. one of those.
Hey, Kitty's right there with you. Why don't they just say what they're thinking?
Yeah.
Yeah. Subu says it's not real life to Cameron either.
Yeah. I mean, I just want to know what kind of therapist Claire is. Like, is she going to be sitting there like, hey, I know you started telling me about this suicide thing, but before we get into that, let's talk about your dad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's talk about this other thing. You know, so, it's like
they ask about his dad, and new information comes out for everybody in the room except, of course, Cameron. Surprised by this?
I was.
Why?
Excuse me. Well, partly because all three of Claire's friends that showed up are therapists. So that has to be interesting within itself. Mm-hmm. And Amy, she just kind of made a joke. You know, like, well, how comfortable are you being around a bunch of therapists? And he's like, I think I'm fine. Tell me about your relationship with your father. And like, she was joking. But again, why I think Cameron is on the spectrum, and I don't understand why this therapist can't recognize this. but he's just like, oh, well, it's pretty non-existent. And then she's like, does he know you're on the show? No, he doesn't. And Claire's yeah. like, what? And he's like, well, what do you say to somebody who's on their deathbed? Mm-hmm. Again, I go back to Claire, like, what are you asking him? Like, those would have been, I would have dug into your parents, your siblings. I'd ask a lot of questions about that in the very beginning.
So here's my thing on this too, though. Because like Kendra says, they triple teamed him. Damn. They did. But the thing about it is, you know, you're in a room full of therapists. Cameron's a jokester.
Right.
What if the joke is on them and his dad is very healthy, wealthy, and ready to do the second wedding in New Zealand, because I've got these three therapists here. Who cracks that kind of joke? It's a terrible joke, yes.
Who cracks that kind of joke?
Have you heard him tell jokes before?
Yeah, but I don't think he's a sociopath that would do something like that. Yeah, just kidding. Waka, waka, waka. My dad's not dead. You know, I just don't see him doing that. That's great on national TV. You're going to tell the world, yeah, my dad's on his deathbed.
Yeah.
JK.
And so my first thought was, especially with Claire, like, this is the first time hearing of it. This is news to me. I'm like, Dina, what did they talk about on the honeymoon? Dating rules. Ask about family. Right?
Ask a lot of questions.
You're a therapist. You're supposed to be able to ask questions to get answers. Ask the short, easy questions, the open-ended ones that get you the person to open up and say some stuff.
Something. I just find that weird that all this time, you not asked enough questions about this? Like, I would ask a lot.
You made a point about his love language earlier, right?
Yes.
About Cameron's love language and what Cameron needs from her. Maybe if she just touched his leg one time, he might open up and say a few things.
Well, and that's what I think it is. Is that, so Claire feels like she's not doing something to make him feel open to share. Mm-hmm. I think Cameron would be more open to share if she showed more affection.
Mm-hmm.
Like, cause I think Cameron is smart. He's realizing like, this chick's not into me. So yeah. why am I going to overshare and invest emotionally? Cause mm-hmm. you're not into me. But if she would actually show she was interested, maybe, but she wouldn't even freaking kiss him.
Now, the thing that people are noticing is how cold Cameron was talking about his dad, right? JD says his coldness talking about his dad could be because he was kicked out of his church at 10 years old. Sad. But maybe his parents did not support him when it happened. That could be it. Or like Shaw Gam says, Cameron was lying about his dad. He told her that he wanted to go wherever and have a second wedding. Yes, which is the next thing that popped up. Because my first question was, why didn't she ask about it? And then come to find out, she had asked him about it.
She what did.
Kind of, sort of.
She did ask him, but he Fred Astaire'd the answer. Because she was like, so does your dad know? Well, the thought is that this goes well, then we have another wedding in New Zealand. But he never said. But uh-huh. again, she should have kept asking. I mean, I think when you're in a relationship and you start dating people, ask a lot of questions. And if they keep being vague, keep asking yep. the question
mm-hmm.
because there's a reason. And so I think he's just, he's socially awkward. So he's just weird. I think his coldness, I don't think it has to do with him being this callous, not caring person, but maybe he has zero relationship with his dad. And there are certain people that have no relationship with their dad. They're like, hey, well, yeah, my dad died yesterday. Just heard about that via text. Hey, are you okay? Yeah, I don't really know. So it's whatever.
Sounds like somebody I know. Chocolate Sooner says, he said a few episodes back, well, you should have asked. He does seem to be an undersharer. Now, there are people who say, if you want to know the question, there are people who say, if you want to know
your
the
people.
Answer, ask the question.
Yeah.
We are people.
Yeah. You're talking about yourself here.
Yeah. But at one point in time, I was one of those people.
Yeah. But I mean, ask the questions. If you want to know something, you know, ask. But I do think it's odd that he dropped that bomb. But again, Cameron doesn't really pay attention to social cues and all that. So I get why he might have just spilled that. But Claire should ask a lot of questions. Stop waiting for him to all of a sudden just open up, sit across the table like, hey, let me tell you about my childhood.
Right.
Ask stuff. If you're not getting it just voluntarily, ask questions. And she's not doing that, but she's not doing it because she doesn't like him. If she really liked him, she would have asked a lot of questions.
All the questions.
She's not into him. So it's whatever.
AJ says, I think we forget that Cameron is an American. His approach to life, thought process is completely different than ours. Hey, guess what? Neither am I. But he's been here for a long time, too. So, I mean.
Yeah, you know. He's been here for a while. He's assimilated enough. But regardless, it's Claire should be asking a lot of these questions. Cameron's not going to open up because she's not showing any type of physical emotion connection to them. So
Toya agrees with you.
Yeah. So it's just, it is what it is, you know, but I will say that Cameron is a terrible host at parties.
Because why?
He just sat his butt down the whole time. Like when I have parties, I'm, hey, do you need anything? I'm helping people get drinks, whatever, moving around. He just sat there.
Yeah.
And Claire was like doing all the serving. I'm like, dude, get up and help host.
Well, that's the part of the process that the woman's supposed to do.
Now, hey, you said that. I don't agree.
I don't
we
agree.
We are hosting that
me,
a party.
That was me, my Cameron voice.
Yeah, if we like are hosting a party, heavy, we are going to help host a party. I'm just going to let you just serve everybody and put everybody's margaritas in your pot. And I'm not going to help. I can pour some margaritas in a pot, too.
Yeah, the thing that is interesting, because a lot of people are bringing up in the live chat, as I see it here, saying that she did ask, he lied, right? You said she asked, he Fred Astaire, you know. I saw a comment earlier that said Claire is a terrible therapist. Because when he danced away from that question,
right,
shouldn't she have circled back to it?
Yes.
I don't know how
it works.
I
didn't get the answer. You didn't answer my question. I'm going to have to ask it again.
Yes.
And maybe in a different way.
Right.
But she is a hot mess. And Keedy is right. On the after party, she breaks out in tears over this whole thing. And I'm just like, what are you crying about? And she makes herself seem like she's the victim. But I'm like, you are terrible at digging in and asking questions, in my opinion. You know, but again, let me back it up. You're terrible at asking questions to people you don't give two shits about. If you really like Cameron, you'd have asked a whole lot more questions and really dug into this stuff. But because you don't, you're not digging into it.
Toya says Claire's questions during the wedding, the question was vague.
Right.
It really was. And Donnelly says, why didn't Claire's friends harp on Cameron for not helping her like Emily's friends did? Because her friends are not ride or die like Emily's friends are.
Right.
You okay over there?
So I was trying to get to the mute button to cough.
I thought you were looking for a comment.
No, I was trying to get to the mute button to cough, and I was trying to grab my hand and cover my mouth. Trying to grab the mouse, cover my mouth.
Hey, and I just couldn't get to it. You made it through a lot of this, so good thing, right? Good thing. Good job. It looks like it's going to be another interesting episode next week. But before we get out of here, I want to go through some of these other comments from earlier, right? Like, Jocelyn says, and this is in reference to the start of the episode with Becca and Austin, you're forgetting that they already been up to the bathroom before they let the cameraman back in. What? So it's not morning breath by then.
No. It's not the fact that there's still morning breath. I'm sorry. But it's the fact that she's in his face first thing in the morning. Mm-hmm. I think that's what he's annoyed about. Her breath could smell like Crest, toothpaste, and mouthwash. But the fact that she's like right here first thing in the morning.
Yeah. Because if you're not into somebody as much as they're into you, them being that close to you would annoy the shit out of you.
Yeah, it would. Like, if you're not really feeling them, you're just like, ugh, why? Why are you here? And imagine getting out of bed to go brush your teeth, to get back in bed, and then for her to be like, go.
you try not to brush your teeth so she won't get that.
Yeah, maybe. Like I just would. But I think Beck would be cool with it. She'd be like, I like your morning breath. I think you should be fine with it.
On the whole thing of morning or nighttime showers, Nikki B says, I prefer morning showers over evening showers if I had to choose. I will say, for my day to start, I have to have a morning shower, right? Because it's part of the routine, get ready, keep moving. Doesn't mean you can't have one at night. I mean, and, you know, so I get it, though. Angie says,
I like morning showers if, because I'm a hot sleeper. So I like morning showers. But I think if you're going to be in bed with somebody, you should always try to take a shower. Might always happen. But if you're about to be in bed with somebody, especially not someone you've been with for years, this is someone that you just met 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Wash your butt.
That's what Andrew's saying. How do you get in bed with your husband without a shower, though?
Yeah. Yeah.
And CXM says, I don't see how people get in bed dirty. While Lisa, I love this one from Lisa. Single me bathes in the morning, relationship me bathes at night.
Yeah, so I'll tell you, single me will get in the bed dirty and funky. It's my house. Yep. But for a relationship, someone's going to be in the bed with me. No.
Because you can change those sheets before somebody comes over.
Exactly. Yeah. Are you on your way? Oh, shoot.
Let me get these no shower at night sheets off real quick. Oh, hey, speaking of Brennan, Nikki says, Jonathan Majors, Brennan is scary.
Dude has a temper.
He does.
Dude has a temper.
He definitely got one.
Yeah.
And I think we kind of see, you can see it in his face, right?
Yeah, because he wants to go off even more, and he's not all that smart. Again, that whole, you know, y'all saying all these big words to me, I'm like, dude, you really sound stupid right now.
Right. It's bananas. So, Margie says, can we talk about how he, meaning Cameron, apparently has a PhD in his field, is one of only 5 experts in the U.S., but now fixes bikes?
What's to talk about? That's what he found his passion, his bikes. But his company is called, what, Broken Carbon?
Broken Carbon, yeah.
Yeah, and so the carbon part, a lot of what he learned, it plays into his bike fixing and building. So I think it's a win-win. And he's just very knowledgeable of it. I see why not.
It's funny you should say win, because these are not win bikes, okay? These are not your regular $60, $70, $100 bikes, even $200 bikes. These carbon fiber bikes, as you can tell, they're a little different.
Right.
I'm sure he makes some. And if, as we saw in the back of the shop, he had a lot to repair. And I'm sure he gets some good money on it.
Yeah, these aren't some Swins, not some BMX bikes. This is big deal of a bike.
No, not them BMX bikes, man.
No, I'm just saying. It's not a BMX bike.
No. True. So let's see. I gotta put this one up here. From Nikki earlier. Said a ninja came into the store I was in and started talking about meow. That said, lady in the room. And he looked at me and said it again. Gentlemen are dying. And this is
I don't understand what he said.
Well, he was probably saying, you know,
No, I don't. I don't understand what he says.
You don't read emoji?
Okay. He started talking about what? The P word?
Yep.
Is that what that's supposed to represent? And she said, lady in the room. And he looked at me and said it again.
Yeah. You know, it's that respect that people used to have. Like the same way Brendan's not showing the respect for Emily and her hurt wrist and helping her bring the lump. So that's all.
Is the P word that bad?
Was it you? Did you walk into the store, Terrell?
I'm just saying, is it really that bad? I mean, you know, what if he just said vagina instead of the P word? Would that have made it? Yeah. Hey, there's a lady in the room. Okay, yeah.
You know what? Oh, on that note, even though Dina does have a great question, in what context was it used? That's very true.
Yeah. Does it say, does it smell like kitty in here?
It could just been some crass talk. Guys do that around each other. That was, you know, it's like, so it could have been.
Keith, yeah, I'm just saying.
And by the way, Nikki says, OMG, Terrell. Yes, the P word is cringy to say in front of a lady.
Well, depends on when you say it in front of her.
Hey, we had a president who said this. That's vulgar, according to Shotgun, right?
Well, but I mean, like, if you're in an intimate setting and you're like, hey, put that P word on my face, no one's going to be like,
but this is not an intimate setting.
Clutch my
this
pearls.
This is a store. Show shot.
Well, I know. I'm just saying it depends on where it's said. That's what I'm saying.
Women don't want to hear about it, guys. Oh, my God. Keaty says, young boys used to apologize for swearing in front of an older woman. Yeah, they used to. Now you can't correct anybody in that manner. Yeah, it's definitely a different level. Yeah.
He's still kind of at home, so.
Yeah, that's why. So, because Dina asked for what context was it used, and he said he got some at home. So he was just bragging about his possessions at the crib.
Yeah. Well,
still
wrong. No,
Still wrong.
But also, I disagree here. Why would someone use the P word unless they were being crude? Not quite. I mean, you could use it in a not crude way.
If you're talking about a pet.
Well, I'm just saying there's a difference.
See, look. Here's what she said. I just want you. So the other men were offended as well and apologized for him. See?
I'm just saying there's ways you can say it where it's kind of acceptable, I think. But walking around the store talking to clerks like that, no, that's terrible.
Hey, Dina, I love your philosophy on this. Well, at least he's staying home for it, not in these streets. I think Dina just pulled out her inner tarot just now, because this is something I expected you to say.
Oh, goodness.
And by the way, Nikki says, I know you're trolling me, Tell, so I'm going to let you have it.
Hey, blame it on the Robitussin and the brown liquor mixture. Probably not a good combo.
Oh, my God. Oh, actually, a beautiful combo. No, seriously. Appreciate you as always, man. If you haven't already, please hit the like button. If you're not subscribed, please hit subscribe and hit the bell for notifications. We'll be back next Thursday. We should be on time next Thursday, right? So
should be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm Yanni Root.
I'm just Terrell.
Make sure you follow us at Yanni Root, at just Terrell, and at RGRT Pod.
Yeah. Send us some of your random thoughts or some of the bullshit you find on the internet, and we'll talk about it on the regular show.
Minus the Robitussin.
Yeah.
And the bourbon. It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Cheers.
All right. Cheers.
That's why I was drinking water today.
Yeah.